The race isn't given to the swift, that they that endure. And for 8 years, we usually don't do that. But thank God, you know, we all know, and many of us helped by helping with the computer. And not me, but several. It was a group and a family affair. And we just thank God for that. But at this time, if you would be so kind to receive Reverend William Liverman with the gospel of the grace of God. Receive him with a hearty amen.
Come on, we can give him another hand, can't we? Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We can do that.
Hallelujah.
Amen. No, we can. We'll shout loud and clear. There's nothing like our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Nothing. We can shout it until we can't shout some more.
Amen.
And that was, thank God, as we were walking to that, up those ramps and at the Tigers game yesterday, I said, y'all can shout all you want to, but you can't outshout the grace. I did a little shout yesterday even hitting his home runs, but that's okay. Amen. We have something to shout about that's what? Lasts forever. And thank God we can get right into our scripture. Let me say this. Give me a couple minutes before we go right into our scripture. We're going right into Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 and 4. Amen. But let me say this. A lot of times we have to kind of remind the recipients that attend the church, the grace gospel, or any time in any other endeavor, do not be intimidated by looking around, hello church, in terms of small number of, say, people here. Don't let that intimidate you, because look at the workings of God in the past. Jesus, our Savior, hello church, was not born in a mega mansion. We know the story. Jesus now, our Savior, God himself, was not born in the palace. He was born in a lowly manger. Come on, church. See, it's human depravity states that, let's say if he was born in a palace, oh, they would have gotten credit. Oh, you know, he was born among us because we are so great. No, he was born where? In a manger. In a barn, really. And those animals, I used to live on a farm, and they don't smell that great all the time. Hello, church. On top of that, who saw Jesus first? The revelation that he was the Messiah, the King, the Savior of Israel. The Lord of Shepherds, not the mighty. So, hello, church. So, I'm saying that in this small place, again, I'm not glorifying a building. I'm just making a point. And I was in a website the other day. Go to www.gracegospelministry.com, and the Lord led pastor to set up the grace curriculum. And thank God, the Lord's continued to bless our pastor to recover. But you look on that website, church, you would think it's a university in terms of how all the information. It's enough information. I'm convinced it's enough information on that website that will last you 20 years in terms of information. So it's God has always done great things in what? Among small. Why? Because he gets the glory. See? Amen. Give him a hand on that. Amen. He's always. That's God's pattern. And I saw a broadcast the other day. There's about 20,000 people in the audience. And not one scripture was mentioned. 20,000 people. I said, where's the scripture? They didn't mention the scripture. He said, okay, repeat after me. You're saved. Okay, let's move on. I said, Lord have mercy. But thank God for grace. All right. Elder Karen Liverman is going to be our reader. Oh, by the way, you should have the document. Sister Roz, please be sure that everyone gets the document on time. Everyone should have the document. That's what we're going to cover today, and I think it's appropriate. We still can tie everything into salvation. But everyone, you should have a document. I think Sister Myra, does she have one? Okay, amen. All right. Now, we're going to refer to the document, and you have two pages, and I believe this document itself is 8 pages. So the Lord be willing to let, you know, I come back another 2 or 3 weeks, whatever, and we'll finish. But we may not finish this today, these 2 pages, but we'll do everything according to God, right? Okay. Now, Elder Karen, why don't you read Ephesians chapter 1, 1 through 4. Read those verses in the King James, but read verse 4 in the Interlinear Greek, please.
Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, King James Version. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Hath blessed. Uh-huh.
According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4,
yes.
Greek interlinear text. As he chose us in him before foundation of world, to be us holy and unblemished before him in love.
Yes, now church, I'm going very slow here today. And I don't care if it turns, I probably won't finish, but I'm going to go very slow. Because number one, and Elder Karen just read, first of all, God chose us in him before foundation, creation of the world. God already chose you. Church, before you were even, before you came on the scene, before, in some case, the doctor patted you and you said, you know, those first few, before that happened, church, God already had you chosen. And Elder Karen, it's an error. And by the way, at the Grace Gospel Church, we utilize the interlinear Greek Bible, along with the King James and other translations. But the interlinear Greek, the Bible was written in Greek. That's a no-brainer. I mean, you want to use a language where the language originated. And again, in Jesus' day, church, you go back, say, 2,000 years ago, if you were to ask someone, okay, read this. Now, of course, God knows all things. Christ, he's God, right? But if you were to ask Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you said, hey, it's a nice day, isn't it? They said, what are you talking about? How are you doing, Peter? I don't understand. Why? The English language did not exist, church. So the Bible was written in Greek, and in the Greek we use common words, the aorist tense, which means that the workings of God is already done. So, if he chose you before creation, and the manifestation of creation was in time, church, that means God chose you before he created time. I'm going to say that again. If the manifestation of God's eternal workings, the sun, the moon, the solar system, the universe, God had already created time to depict those workings. Because we can read in the document that time was created to manifest the glory of God through his workings. And Elder Karen just read, which the word of God speak, she read it, but the Holy Spirit tells us that he chose you before he created those entities. You were already chosen. See, these religious systems would tell you that, I had to live a good life, and all of a sudden I went to a church, and I was convicted, and then God chose me. No, what happened? God moved on your heart at that time. That was his process. But the fact that he chose you in eternity, you were already chosen, even if you never, quote, had gotten convicted by the Holy Spirit. You being chosen, church, is you being chosen. So in essence, in time, everything is in God. Because God controls everything. Now, let's go to Colossians 1:16, because we're going to connect this. Colossians 1:16. I'm going very slow here, because what happens, God's people, men of God's people, are in a basket case because things are happening in their life, and they are can't get into sleep, upset, because they are governed by time. And in the time capsule, crazy things can happen, church. But we are not to be governed by what happens in time. Our motivation should be what God has already done in eternity. Elder Karen, you mind reading, please?
Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, King James Version. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or things, all things were created by him and for him.
Now, church, this is a typical reason why we go in the Greek language. Because the King James, see what happened? When the King James read that, it was too intimidating. So they say, all things are created by him. Is that true? Yeah. But But you, if you just follow the King James here, you're going to lose the essence of what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. Elder Leverman, Elder Cameron, will you mind reading this in the interlinear Greek, the verse 16 here?
Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, Greek interlinear text. Because in him were created all things in the heavens and on the earth, mm-hmm. the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or lordships or rulers or authorities, all things through him and for him have been created.
Everything, but the Holy Spirit just spoke to Elder Karen, everything, church, is in Christ. And the fact that everything is in him, that means everything is controlled by him. That means nothing wiggles, nothing moves outside of the direction of God. Now, I mentioned this a couple of years ago. I think I have time for this. There's a piece of paper here. If I were to ball this paper up, come on, church, and if I were to put this paper inside my hand, that paper is subject to my hand. If my hand moves right, the paper's going to move right. If my hand opens, it sure the paper is revealed. If my hand moves left, the paper is inside my hand. Paper can't do anything apart from the power, the unction, the movement of my fist. Your life is in God through the medium of time, which means that your life cannot move, do anything apart from the workings of God. If God say go left, you're going to go left. If God say go right, you're going to go right. No, I woke up. I decided. See, first of all, you decided. Listen. The only thing you can decide to do is depravity. And by the way, you didn't decide that. God allocated that depravity to you for you. And we're not glorifying depravity. We're just making the sense. But somebody said, come on, you are like we are robots. Hallelujah. No creature. He is the creator, church. We are creatures that were created to glorify God. Now, somebody said, I woke up, I decided to go to this university to do this and that. Well, see, who gave you that thought? The Bible tells you that, what? Everything is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You finished that university because God purposed you to finish that university. You retire from that job because God purposed for you to retire from that job. Now, somebody say, I did good. I worked good. Listen, y'all, it's not about you. I have a sister-in-law, retired school teacher. Now, she don't mind me telling this. If she worked, say, 10 years, you might have to do the numbers. She went to school probably 90% late. I don't mean 5 minutes late. I mean 20 minutes late. In fact, the principal got to the point where they had somebody in a class that y'all, Ms. Leverman Stephanie should be here. She'll be here. But what happened? If it was based on her being late, she would have, they was, okay, listen, you're going to have to, you know. But it's not about, and we're not glorified. You should be on time. Amen. God's people should be the first one there. Amen. But the point is that it's not about what we do. It's about what God has purposed. Everything is according to God. Now, let's go to the document. Because we're going to go real slow and talk about time. Time is in God. And the fact that time is in God, church, all the events that accompany time is in God. That's the most liberating thing to know, that God controls everything. And somebody said, why is it that God, men of God's people are frustrated? They go through life, some can't sleep. Some are afraid of ISIS, look at here, all these things happen in America, men of God's people. Can't sleep. Why? Because they feel that things out here, God doesn't control. If you really feel in your heart that God controls all things, then guess what? You can get a good night's sleep every night to know that, hallelujah, everything is according to God. Let's go to the document. As we approach the final days of the... Now, by the way, look at this here. This pastor wrote this document. You see that 15 years ago, the Lord laid on pastor. See, but the thing about it, in those time sequential depictions, yes, it was 15 years ago, but everything is in Christ, everything, but now are we in Christ Jesus. Everything we're talking about today is what? Right now. Because in time, there are no what we call time is for incremental depictions for God's testimony. But in essence, everything is now. One big now, N-O-W. As we approach the final days of this calendar year, we realize that we are living in a very significant interval of time. Calendar-wise, we are approaching the turn of not only a new year, but also a new decade. And not only a new decade, but also a new century and a new millennium. Let me stop here. You notice this time? You see how God's people are governed by time? You know what happened in the year 2000. Many of God's people moved to the mountains because they thought their computers were going to crash. You know, come on, y'all. Many of God's people said, oh, you know, they were planning all types of things because they were calling, even set up a term, Y2K. And guess what happened? We made the transition from 2000 to 2000, next year, 2001. Basically, nothing happened. Why? It was according to God. But again, people are governed by what they see. They thought the world was going to come to an end. But are we still here? We are still here because God has purpose for us to still be here. Let's move on. According, we focus on this very important phenomenon called time. The Greek word "kairos," translated time, defines a space or an increment or allotment set aside to accomplish a certain goal or purpose. The word "kairos" or time literally depicts finite or earthly durations as distinguished from eternity. Time identifies a point in progress, a period of history or current events, or prophecy that is defined as future events. Time denotes a period or duration reserved or available for certain actions to be taken or certain events to occur. Time also engenders a point or appointment assigned for the performance of a prescribed course or operation or a season designated for certain conditions. Okay? Let's move right into the next paragraph. The word time, kairos in the Greek, is a noun. It always is always in a masculine gender and the singular person, and in some instances, time is grammatically expressed in the genitive case. In the Greek grammar, the genitive case shows possession or source, which speaks to the end that time is on and it belongs to someone or something. We understand from God's word, listen, church, that God is a maker and creator of all things, including time. We just read in Colossians. God is a maker of all things, including time. Therefore, we conclude that time belongs to or is owned by God. In most instances, time is grammatically expressed in either the accusative or dative cases. In the Greek grammar, the accusative case denotes time as the direct object of the sentence, and the dative case denotes time as the indirect object of the sentence. Now, in both cases, it is an object or preposition either stated or understood. Thus, time is always a target of some intended purpose. Church, listen. Time is always a target of some intended purpose. Looking around, some of you in here are in your, some are teenagers. Some are in their 20s. Some are in their 30s. Some in the 40s, some in the 50s, some in the 60s, some in the 70s. I'm going to stop. I don't know about being out of the church. I am going to stop. But let me say this. God has allocated your life in time increments. And God is not finished with you. That's why you're still here. When God has finished with your life, church, you're out of here. That's glorious. But somebody said, but I'm leaving here. What is better? Somebody help me out. What's better than absent from the body, present with the Lord? You see, I noticed over the last 3 or 4 years, we lost some loved ones that, you know, that's affiliated with our ministry. Amen. Our dear mother, Goodloe Johnson, who this year was 3 years Mother's Day, you know, around Mother's Day, Elder Karen's Limerick's mother, my mother-in-law, her husband, Papa Johnson, passed away April 26th, and on be the Lord. Amen. We've lost Sister Williams not too long ago, lost her loved one. See that? Many of us have lost loved ones. Amen. My mom, 91 years old, still hanging in there. Real simple. The Lord is not finished with her. Gertrude Palin Liverman in Greensboro, North Carolina. Be 91 years old in October. But the point is this. God has allocated that time. And you should have comfort because you are here until that time is fulfilled. It ain't no use of you trying to do things and move to the mountains and try to get away from all this crime and everything. I'm gonna get away from all this crazy stuff so I can live a long life. Reminds me of a man lived way up in the country somewhere. Things he said happened so crazy he moved out way into somewhere. I'm gonna get away from all this crazy stuff. Just outside drinking some iced tea. He was relaxing. I'm safe. Out sleeping and a rattlesnake slid into the house and bit him. He died. So it's not, safety is in Christ, church. Safety is in Christ. We're saved. So God has, on this frame, on this matrix, God has depicted, what, a number of years. And you can relax. Nothing's going to happen. So I think it's appropriate now, before we go into the third paragraph, let's take our country, the United States. We celebrated. For those of you in other countries, the United States celebrated their United Used to track 2015 from 1776, I believe you come up with 239. Their 239th birthday yesterday. Now listen to this now. God, from 1776, the United States has been on this matrix, right? Now, up to right now, the country is still here. Now you ask people that don't look at things, see, don't go outside of Paul's right. Don't go outside the mystery. Now, what's the mystery? The volume of truth that God gave to the Apostle Paul for the Grace Church. And that information, what's that information? Those books from Romans through Hebrews gives you more information about the eternal workings of God than other parts of the Bible. The whole Bible is true. But if you don't, in essence, read the Bible according to the mystery of Paul's writings, you'll miss it, especially in this area of how God deal with nations. Let me give you an example. Let's go back to this country. In time, you ask people, men of God's people, why is it that America's still here? Let's bring it home. You're here. You all heard this. Oh, we're still here because we're a godly nation. You heard this. Come on. Oh, we're still here because the saints are praying. And there's nothing wrong with praying. Oh, we're still here because we've had godly leadership. So that's why we're still here. No, no, no. The only reason why this country has been here for 239 years because God's purpose for America has not been fulfilled. And when God's purpose for this country has been fulfilled, this country is going to go by the way just like every other nation. You know, you look at Syria and all those other nations, Babylon. And in spite of this, people don't realize, if you study history, do you know we have gone from one push of a button to the release of nuclear weapons that could have destroyed this country? But it wasn't. It wasn't according to God. So now what's God, people? They are talking about ISIS. ISIS, we're going to get you. We're going to get you to the United States. We're going to bring you to your knees. Wait a minute. If that happens, it's not because they did. It's because it was God's purpose. So it's interesting. So this nation is going to run, is going to be around until it runs its course. Let's look at a little more history. You look at Rome. I was reading a history book the other day. Y'all studied this: the rise and fall of the Roman Empire. People said Rome was a God took them down because they were so wicked. Were they a wicked nation? Yeah. But that wasn't the reason God took them down. Come on, they did all this crazy stuff. So God got mad with Rome. So now God just decided to get mad with the nation, right? They had the most wicked rulers. Do you know God kept that nation around for 500 plus years? And somebody said, no, they should have had godly people in office. But notice, Nero was probably the most wicked rulers in Rome. Come on, study history, church. And he burned the city. He was the one that caused so much persecution among the Christians. In spite of that, God kept the nation around. Somebody said, oh, you should have had some God and emperors. Well, let's look at history. God raised up Constantine, who was a who in his 325, in his legislative, God calls it, Christianity was the religion of the nation, of the empire. And a Christian emperor in his reign, under his leadership, Rome fell. Now, if anybody would think, well, it's rendered evil for evil, that Rome would have fallen under what? Nero. Or some of these other wicked rulers. But the nation fell under what? Constantine, church. So it wasn't about who was in charge. Why did God end the Roman Empire? The purpose had been fulfilled. And the nation went down to the dust. So, in essence here, that's what it's all about, church. It's all about what God has purposed. And again, I go back to this. Again, let me ask you, I'm going to go real slow. Why are you still here, church? Now, you know, I know some of you, there's no doubt some of you, you woke up one of these and said, how in the world did I get through this? You woke up and said, I should have been out of here. Whatever it was. But it was all according to purpose. God has allotted your life according to purpose. And this is not negative. Some of you may live to be 100. Some of you may check out. I could check out here tomorrow. Somebody said, that's scary. Scary. Listen, no more arthritis, no more slow movements, you know, no more all this stuff. No more. You're talking about scary. Trace, you're talking about scary. Man, to have a glorified body that won't get tired. That's good news. And I would say, I go back. Again, it's all according to God. I go back to his purpose. Go back. At the game yesterday, I saw a lot of you kids, they're 2 or 3, a lot of parents in their 20s. Boy, they were keeping up by those kids. And then I noticed every day, I saw some grandparents. Come on, y'all. Come on, the kids say, come on, granddaddy, you better miss the game. Grandpa got slow, got tired. And I know Elder Karen's not going to, she don't mind me saying this. We were leaving the game, and the car was parked on the third deck. It was me, my two grandsons, amen. And so I said, y'all rest, I go get the van. And so we got to the parking deck, and Elder, my wife, said, she don't mind me saying this, right? She said, look, when you go get the car, I'm going to sit down. I said, baby, you sit down, I get the car. But I'm going to say, me and my Jaden, and where's Jamie? Yeah, where's my grandson? Okay, Jamie, boy, what? They're moving, you know. But what happened, church? In the allotment of time, you're going to slow down. And you mean tell me to have a glorified body that's never going to slow down? That's not good news. Amen. But that's all according to God. He gives what? Allotments to time. And I say this, we go back into the document. God, one time, I mentioned this two months ago, the oldest person in the world, Geraldine Talbot, lived in Eastern Michigan. At that time, you all been known now, she passed away. She was 116 years old. One time, God had given her, what happened? The allotment of time on the majors, 116 years. But what happened? When the purpose was fulfilled, out of here. Amen. So that's why it's all about Christ. Let's go back to the document. Amen. Third paragraph. Time, as earlier stated, is expressed in a space or an increment or a duration, basically in terms of regulated intervals designated for the manifestation of opportunity, events, and occasions. These regulated intervals are always delineated in some measure or apportionment always fits and definite. These intervals are always regulated in the instituting of the establishment of control. Notice, whoever controls time also has the power to control events, occurrences, or occasions. Do y'all see this? God controls these things. The regulation of intervals of time is defined in increments of measurements. Measurements of time are expressed in the division of ages as delineated in years, and in the year is subdivided into 12 months, seasons, fall, winter, spring, and summer, and days, and the day is divided into sections of the day, morning, moon, night, hours, minutes, and seconds. You see? The ages of time are expressed in terms of periods of God's work or God's purpose or plan in dealing with man. Creation is recorded in the book of Genesis. Let's move on. Next paragraph. Each age has its own divine purpose. The antediluvian age also recorded in the book of Genesis. This book is culminated with the events of the flood and the salvation of Noah and his family as all mankind was destroyed, and thus the institution of the ages. Next page. Of human government was established. God's purpose in sanctifying and setting apart one man, namely Abraham, and ultimately one nation, Israel, is expressed in the age defined as promise. God's purpose in giving the law to his people, Israel, those whom he had chosen in the preceding age, are defined in the age of law. Okay? What about today? Next paragraph, church. We are currently living in the greatest of all ages. Let's see this again. We are currently living where? In the greatest of all ages, the age of grace. Hallelujah. God's purpose in this era is best documented in chapter 1 of Ephesians, wherein he identifies those whom he has chosen and elected in time in him before the foundation of the world. This is indeed the age when God's greatest accomplishments, the sacrificial death of Jesus on the cross, are manifested through the revelation of the mystery, and that is the body of Christ, the church. Okay? Notice, this is all according to God. One more paragraph, and then we'll stop and say a few things. Next paragraph. In the future time to come, God will impart his wrath upon his world during the tribulation. See that? A 7-year. Notice, church, we're talking about time. A 7-year period in which the Antichrist will rise as recorded in the book of Revelation. We believe that prior to the tribulation, namely in the interval just before this terrible display of God's wrath upon the earth, Jesus will return and take away his elect for this age, the church. Now, this is commonly referred to as the rapture. Of course, there are some that dispute the timing of this event. Some teach mid-tribulation, while others claim post-tribulation for this occurrence. But one thing is absolutely for sure, and that is Jesus will return first to receive his elect, the church, which will be removed from this world, both those living and asleep in Christ. And then he shall come to deliver his people Israel, who will gladly receive him at that time. He will put down every contender, every foe. He will come to make war with all that resist his coming until he has subdued all that oppose him. Jesus will sit on David's throne in Jerusalem and rule this world for 1,000 years, which is the age designated as the millennium. During this time, hallelujah, the devil and all of his cohorts will be bound and thrown into a bottomless pit for the entire duration of the millennium period. This is the prophesied age of peace upon the earth as recorded in the book of prophecies in the word of God. Subsequently to this age, the devil, Satan, will be loosed for a brief period, and all the non-elect of God from all the ages of the time will stand before the great white throne judgment without the shield of faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a terrible day for mankind who is not covered by the redemptive work of Christ upon Calvary, as they stand to be eternally loose, separated, and doomed to the lake of fire with Satan and all his hosts of servants to everlasting torment. Church, let me say this. If you put your salvation in time, you're going to be a frustrated Christian. I say this because I've been there. I put 10 hands pointing to me. I've been there. Because when I had salvation time, I thought I had to measure up. If I had a good day in time. And you know what? Let me say this. There's no such thing as a child of God having a good day. Hello. We're all unrighteous. But let me go back. We're unrighteous within ourselves. But within Christ, but clothed with what? His righteousness, his goodness, his kindness, and his mercy. See, for years, I was, when I say saved, but what? Frustrated. For years. And I'm not ashamed to say that. Because I measured my accomplishments as to whether or not God, whether or not he was mad with me. If I had a bad day, oh God, you know, God trying to teach me something. Well, there's a teaching element in your bad days. But if you're in Christ, God loves you. I mentioned last week. You're in Christ, he loved you in eternity. You've always been loved by God. But one component of what we just read, one thing that really almost tormented me, church, for years, was missing the rapture. Missing the rapture. Because I measured what occurred in time. One day, if I got mad at somebody and I said things that weren't kind, oh, Lord, the rapture, come out of here. I'm mad. Then don't mention the mark of the beast. You know, many of God's people are afraid, Lord, give me strength to refrain from the mark of the beast. Now, we're not going to go there. It's in Revelation. But I'm saying, if you are chosen by God in eternity, it is impossible for you, quote, to take the mark of the beast. Because the mark of the beast were designated for God's non-elect. You belong to Christ. So all these things about the mark of the beast, what, the Antichrist, all these things occurs after we're out of here. And even look at the church. The Bible says that time period, church, the Bible calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. Another dispensation. For months, we talk what? Time passed, God spoke to the prophets. But now he's speaking to the body of Christ via the church through the mystery. Ages to come, that kingdom gospel is going to be resurrected. But now, we have not been chosen to wrath. But somebody say, what about over there in the elect in Revelation 20, in Matthew 24? Yes, God has, he's had elect church at every time period. Somebody say, let's go back. Was Moses God's elect? You know that he was. Abraham? Go move to this. Noah? David? Isaiah? All God's elect, right? Today. Paul? Kingdom gospel. Peter, James, John? You and I? So God's always has elect, but if you put you there, over there, Jesus talked about it, Matthew 24, you run to the mountains, woe to him, all that. That's the language of the kingdom law. He's talking to Israel. In the great news for the body of Christ, God hath not chosen us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. And that salvation has already been attained, but through the blood of Christ. So you don't have to worry about missing the rapture. Even a person go through a God's elect, they may never read a Bible about nothing. If they are God's elect, when that day comes, they're out of here. Well, somebody say, but they didn't know about it. Many things we don't know about. But that doesn't take away from the fact that it's true. I can name several nations, the 200 plus nations, I can name several nations. Many of you never heard of the nation. Does that prevent that nation from being what? Around. It's not about whether or not you know. But thank God, the fact that God has given this enlightenment with you, church, we should thank God for the enlightenment. Thank God we don't have to wait until absent from the body, the presence of the Lord, to have some revelation of the eternal workings of God to know that Elder Karen just read, we were chosen by God before the foundation of the world. Give him a hand. Amen. So, church, relax. Relax in your salvation. It's a rest, church, to know that my salvation is what? Is what? Taken care of. It's already taken care of. Why? God chose you when? In eternity. Before the foundation of the world, you were chosen by God in eternity. So, that day come, the day we call the perfect age, that day will come. But the essence of the workings of God is to know that everything is according to God. Now, let's go to Ephesians. Elder Karen, I want you to go to Ephesians 3. See, this, now, here's what we're going to go real slow on this. This is another thing that messes up a lot of God's people. Everything now, let's go. Let me say a few things about Ephesians because of time. Let me say a few things about Ephesians. The first part of Elder Karen just mentioned, read, God, we were chosen by what? God before the foundation of the world. Amen. Why did God do that? Okay. And then it goes on to the second part, talks about the church, the body of Christ, this wonderful spiritual organism, okay, that God chose you and I as members in the body of Christ. Amen. But see, God, these things are not just written in isolation. There is a reason why they are written. Elder Karen, read Ephesians chapter 3. All the workings of God. God choosing you as a member in his body. He loved you, having predestinated you, having loved you in eternity. Everything was a reason. What was the motivating factor of God doing all of this? Elder, please, Elder, read it. I want you to read it two times, Elder Karen. Read Ephesians 3:11 two times.
Ephesians 3:11.
Yes.
King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians 3:11, King Greek interlinear text. According to purpose of the ages which he made in Christ Jesus the Lord of us.
He chose you according to purpose. Church, that's liberating. Because men of God's people, you ask men of God's people, why did God choose you? You're going to get a plethora of answers. And the problem is this. The answers that you're going to receive are synergistic in focus. It's you, along with God, accomplishing an end result. Now, it's okay to have a synergistic two things in physicality becoming one. And my science brain tells me, let's say you can take, we all know you heard the science, you can take hydrogen and oxygen, you bring those together, what? You have water, right? But it's dangerous to do this spiritually. What you do, what God do equals salvation. That's dangerous. That's scary. The church, that's scary. Because here's a problem here. What you do, okay, what you do in time, let's name some. You've been there, come on. You got baptized, spoken tongues. Let's name some more. Shook the preacher's hands. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong in processes. As far as what? Outward manifestation of God's glory. But if you do these as a reason for you to get saved, you know, you called a fire from heaven one day. And I had a fire from heaven experience. And I feel so good. I had a fire from heaven experience. And I know I'm saved. If you depend upon you, you're going to be messed up. It reminds me of the brother. He was reading the Bible. And you don't even doubt what the brother experienced. But it was almost like Paul mentioned over there in the Corinthians, I saw unspeakable things. He was telling his wife, honey, I read the Bible. I had a wonderful experience. The wife said, okay, wonderful. Then the second day, oh, honey, it was just a great experience. I had to move from God. She said, okay. See, by the fourth day, the wife got a little irritable. She said, I tell you what, you enjoy your move from God, but don't forget to take the trash out, you know. All right, you get so spiritual, don't forget to do my oil needs change, you know. See, we're not minimizing the church, but the point is that if you put yourself in the formula, here's a problem. God may cause you to have that manifestation of glory, right? But now, suppose in this evil present age, you attach that to your salvation, and one day you have the worst day in the world. You say, oh, Lord, I backslidden. Why? Why do you use that word? Well, over there, Psalms and Leviticus say, oh, backslidden Israel, stay outside the Old Testament for doctrine. That word backslidden. Somebody said, backslidden? And you know, we've been there. So you hear a child of God, let's say in time, come on, church. In time, God's people are going to go through problems. They're going to have problems, right? But in the time capsule, things happen. So, good day, I'm saved. Bad day, God's mad with me. You have your salvation locked in time. Which is not secure, church. The only secure thing is in eternity. That's where your salvation. Here's the problem. Many of God's people have salvation locked in time. Salvation is what? What God did in eternity. And many letters we receive from brethren over in Africa, the Philippines. And I noticed one area that's a commonality among a lot of these letters that I receive, that we receive. They want to make sure they're saved. And somewhere along the line, many times, they have salvation in time, Pastor. I noticed that. And when we send, when we do the Holy Spirit, give scripture, say, wait a minute. Salvation is not about what these things are. It's not about time. Salvation is about what? Eternity. What God did. See, they are going through so many things, trials and tests. See, we're here to be free to worship. Hello, come on, church. But many of our brothers and sisters are sneaking underground because of governmental pressures. But they just want to come together and worship Jesus. But the whole thing is that they just want to be, they just want to have the assurance that they're saved. And it's like liberation from the fact it's not about what you experience in time. You may denounce Jesus in time. Somebody put a gun inside your head and say, look, denounce Jesus. Then somebody say, bless God, I won't do that. And let's say a brother or sister do that, and they denounce Christ, and you say, well, they're doomed to hell. Look, if they were saved, now, by God's grace, if God gives them the strength to say, I love Jesus, if a bullet comes, I take the bullet. Wonderful. But if someone out of fear says, but God does not what deal with them in terms of holding it back. If they denounce Christ, amen, they still belong to Christ. Amen. It's not about what we do in time. It's about what God did in eternity. Yeah. Yeah. But let's balance this out now. Because many of God's people, he teaches where they say, oh, you're just giving people a license to do all this. Oh, wait a minute. Paul dealt with this. Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? The goal of grace is not to do less. The goal of grace is to do more. That's the goal of grace. Man, God, wait a minute. But the day that I said, wait a minute, you mean tell me that I can't mess my salvation up? You would want to, the Holy Spirit, he can allow you to do more because of what God did for you. Amen? Now, I'm going to close on something. Since we're talking about time, And this is going to be a little reading, but bear with me. Because, see, this gives proof many of God's people have their salvation linked in time. Take salvation out of time. We had a document some time ago in Doctrine Conference. The importance of taking salvation out of time. I guarantee you ask many Christians, are you saved? Oh, yes, I'm saved. How do you know? I guarantee most of them it's going to be a something answer that's related to what happened in time. Very few will say, I'm saved because God chose me before the foundation of the world. And that's where you have security. Now, bear with me. Because I'm going to show you. Just read something. We'll close on this. But it talks about time and why it can be dangerous. Now, when I say dangerous, we're not talking about as far as your salvation, but as far as your thinking. To have salvation linked in time. Because here's the point, church. There is no security in time. I say this one more time. There is no security in time. So this is going to be a little reading, about 10 minutes reading, but I think it's important for you to see this whole word time. This is an article stated 2015 will have an extra second so humanity doesn't lose track of its place in the universe. Now listen. Now on June 30th, 2015, the second hand of the clock will essentially strike midnight twice. Now you're going to lock your salvation in that? I tell you what, come on. Here we go. Most people are vaguely aware that this year is not exactly 365 days long. And every fourth year, we add a leap day to make up for lost time. Make up for lost time? You can link salvation to this? Knowledge men know that the length of the 24-hour day itself is also hard to pin down at exactly 86,400 seconds. You would think that that's automatic. Church, it's hard to pin that down, especially especially when you go to numbers beyond that's smaller than a second, it's hard to pin that time down. The time it takes for the Earth to spend one full rotation on its axis is affected by the seasonal changes of the trade winds, the change in ocean currents changing over longer time frames, the buildup of glaciers and mountains, earthquakes, and the movement of the Earth's liquid core. Even the building of a large reservoir can change the length of a day by an instant. Changing, church. I think some of y'all are getting the point. Things are changing here. God created time to change. But God, that never changes. So do you want to link your salvation in the entity that never changed or put it in a medium that changes? The Earth's rotation slows by 2/1000ths of a second a day, which is why, since the first leap second occurred in 1972, the world's timekeepers at the International Eastern Rotation Service in France add a leap second to the year every so often. The world's 26th leap second ever would be added this year. It was added a few days ago, church, on June 30, 2015, when the second hand of the clock will essentially strike midnight twice. Now, you can tie this into your salvation. Let me move on. I'm almost finished. According to the Telegraph, this posed major hassles for software and computer companies that rely on precise timekeeping. Usually, systems around the world stay in sync with each other using a system called the Network Time Protocol, which is programmed to stay within a few milliseconds of coordinated universal time, the official scientific time for the world as measured by atomic clocks. But the protocol doesn't deal well with leap seconds. The last leap second occurred in 2012. For example, it caused sites like Mozilla, Yelp, and Reddit to crash, and problems with Linux operating systems, like a mini version of the Y2K bug. See, a lot of people don't realize we had a mini version. Thank God, according to God's purpose, it wasn't massive, but because of a little leap second, it caused a little chaos in the technological world. And in closing, behind all of this is a fascinating philosophical debate over whether to have leap seconds at all. The United States argued for their elimination at a 2012 conference because of the trouble they caused today's precise navigation, communication, and financial systems. This may be true, but getting rid of them means accepting that humanity's version of time will forever be out of sync with Earth's astronomical reality as reported. Now, tie this in to time. Now, we just read, the pastor wrote this document 15 years ago, that God is going to what? Allocate 7 years to the tribulation period. Jesus made a statement. Except the Lord shorten the days. Now let me ask you this. Is God locked into 24-hour days? No. God is going to do what? God is going to move the Earth's axis to the point that you have all this crazy chaos in the what? In the biosphere during that time. But what we just read, we're talking about a leap second that could cause chaos. Now, here's the problem. You now, in this medium of an unstable environment, put your salvation in this unstable environment, and you know what's going to happen? You're going to be up, down, all sidetracked, just like time. But I'm going to end the way we started. Elder Karen, go to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to end. And I'll posit this question to you. Will you rather have your salvation based upon, we're just talking about a leap second. Not a leap minute. A leap second can cause what? All this instability. Amen. Is it best to have your salvation locked in here? Or I'm going to finish reading with what we read initially. Elder Karen, why don't you, just to be a time, read Ephesians 1:4. Go right into the Greek, please. Just read 1 through 4.
Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, Greek interlinear text. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, through will of God, to the saints, being in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God, Father of us, and Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the having blessed us with every blessing spiritual in the heavenlies in Christ, as he chose us in him before foundation of world to be us holy and unblemished before him in love.
God chose you before the foundation of the world. He chose you before he created time. In salvation, as relates to time, if you put events that you need to do in time, you will never enter into the rest that the Apostle Paul mentioned, the rest of God, to know that everything is already done. You would be like this Christian that's trying to measure up in time, to the point where this Christian went to this to be baptized. And she wrote down all the places she had gone to be baptized. And she told a preacher that she needed to be baptized. So this another church had another formula to be baptized. She got baptized that way. And so she knew she was saved. Got home that night. Guess what, church? She went through her record somewhere. She kept record of her, quote, her walk with God. And realized there was a church. There was a baptism that she didn't have. So she said, I'm lost. I'm going to hell. Call the preacher up. Please, I got to be baptized this way. And what happened? The preacher got so frustrated. He said, come on, sis, we'll baptize you. Lord, baptize her. If there's anything that she missed, Lord, let's do it right now. See, in other words, church, that's frustration. That's not rest. Salvation is of the Lord. So in closing, we just gave an example of what? Medium of time where things change versus eternity. And when you put salvation in time, you will have our gospel, the revelation of the mystery that tells us that everything that is according to God. You will not get this information in the other books of the Bible. Even though the whole Bible is God's word, you only get the eternal workings of God's eternal workings, that everything is according to God. You will only get this information in the mystery. What is the mystery? That volume of truth that was given to the Apostle Paul for the Grace Church. And what is that volume of truth? The medium that runs through our contract. This is the gospel of the grace of God, which is the only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.